And welcome back to Shock Talk, the after party podcast you didn't know you didn't need. I'm Sean.
I'm Maddie.
And we're here to talk about Shocked and Applauds episode about Willow.
A very fantastic movie.
And up till yesterday, a movie I hadn't actually sat through and watched the entire movie from beginning to end.
It's a sad, sad childhood that you had.
I was not allowed to watch this movie. In fact, I was forbidden by my parents. Thank you, fundamentalist Christianity.
We watched it.
Yeah, what did you think?
I mean, we watched it when I was little.
What did you think when you were little?
It was fantastic.
Yeah? Anything you'd like to say about it?
It was a good movie. I enjoyed it.
Wow. If you could see the look she has at me, it's amazing.
I was not informed I was going to have to be giving a presentation.
Oh, sorry. Must lost the email, huh? All right, so we're going to go off. They first mentioned Ron Howard. He's the director. He was in the film The Music Man with Robert Preston, which is a throwback to the last Shocked and Applaud episode on The Last Starfighter.
I mean, there's more to Ron Howard than he directed this movie. This wasn't even his directorial debut, was it?
No, but I just thought it would be fun to throw in a tidbit that related to a previous movie that they'd already reviewed.
Gotcha.
You know, I mean, you could say more about Ron Howard. He's bald. He did How the Grinch Stole Christmas with Jim Carrey. He did Apollo 11. He's directed A Beautiful Mind, which won Academy Award for Best Picture. He was in Happy Days, the Andy Griffith Show. I mean, come on. Feel better now?
Thank you.
He always wears hats to cover up his baldness. He also directed Star Wars, a solo Star Wars story, after they fired the original directors who were the directors of the Lego movie.
Ah.
Because they made the movie too funny, apparently.
Yeah, well.
We're disrespectful to the source material. Not true Star Wars fans, I guess.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like most of what Ron Howard does, and it probably wasn't his directing that made me not like that movie.
Oh, he was probably just brought in to, like, you know, get the movie out the door.
Yeah. Anyway, we're here to talk about Willow.
Which, when you talk about Willow, you cannot help but talk about Willow, Warwick Davis.
Who is, in his own right, an amazing actor.
I just saw a couple scenes of his work in Leprechaun 4, Back to the Hood, where he plays a killer leprechaun, and in this particular one, he finds somebody's bong and ends up getting stoned in the refrigerator where he gets stuck. So, yeah. According to my notes, Warwick Davis was only about 17 when he started filming Willow. This would explain why he was up against Fred Savage in Vice Versa for Best Young Actor.
Ah.
Can you imagine, like, having two kids and being a farmer when you're only, like, 17?
Well, I mean, I'm sure that's a thing that has happened.
Well, yeah, but I mean, nowadays.
Not nowadays. No.
I mean, like, I need you to play a loving father at 17.
That's why it's called acting, honey. Oh,
mm-hmm. This is interesting. Warwick Davis is number 7 in the list of actors with the highest box office gross. So, like, of all the actors in Hollywood, Warwick Davis is number 7 on who's made the most money through his films.
Because he's been in a lot of stuff, because he's a good actor.
It's mostly because of his appearance in both the Star Wars and Harry Potter franchises. I think he was in every single Harry Potter movie. Return of the Jedi, he's been in every single Star Wars movie in some capacity.
Mm.
Stan Lee is number 1.
Eh.
Just because Stan Lee has been in almost every single Marvel movie since they started making the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And he was in Mallrats. The Mallrats kind of pushed him over the edge.
Yeah, yeah. Because that movie is going to be the deciding factor for so many things.
Oh, it totally is. Mm-hmm. Just because you don't like Mallrats.
I didn't say I didn't like Mallrats.
Give you the stink palm.
Whatever.
Interesting note that Joanne Whaley, who played Sorsha, married Val Kilmer, Mad Mardigan, in 1988 after meeting on the set of Willow.
Happens to a lot of people.
They have two children. but divorced in 1995.
Happens to a lot of people.
Apparently, Val Kilmer was alerted to his news of the impending divorce via TV news 2 days before he was to begin shooting The Island of Dr. Moreau on location in Australia.
That doesn't happen to a lot of people, but that really sucks.
After being served divorce papers on set, he became increasingly difficult to work with and eventually caused the main actor, Rob Morrow, to quit and got the director, Richard Stanley, fired. There's actually an interesting documentary on this movie, this, about the making of The Island of Dr. Moreau, which in itself is an interesting movie with Marlon Brando in it.
Yes.
And a little mini Marlon Brando, and how Marlon Brando wanted to play Dr. Moreau as a dolphin because, you know, he could at that point. But yeah, so I mean, I can't imagine getting served divorce papers on set would kind of make you a little angry.
Well, yeah.
But I mean, like, you'd think you'd be professional enough to not, like, it affect the movie so badly that, you know, you kind of crash and burn it around everything.
I do not blame Val Kilmer for all of the badness that was in that movie.
No, but he was the reason why the director got fired.
Anyway, we're talking about Willow, in which Val Kilmer did an amazing job.
Okay, yes, he was pretty great in that movie.
Yes, I love Val Kilmer.
Yeah, even melon boobs aside.
Not a woman!
He does not make a pretty woman. He does not. No. No, 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 no.
Not a woman!
Been a while since I listened to this particular episode, but I guess I had a note on Sylvia Sidney. She was the actress who played Juno, the afterlife caseworker for the Maitlands.
Okay.
In Beetlejuice. Sorry, I skipped that one. I should have said, in Beetlejuice, Sylvia Sidney played Juno. I guess maybe they were talking about the fact that she had her neck kind of like she'd smoke a cigarette and it would come out through her neck. In the film, Beetlejuice was her assistant before he went freelance bio-exorcist. It's assumed that she committed suicide by slitting her own throat, as suicides are assigned to be civil servants in the afterlife.
How does this relate to Willow?
I said it's been a while. This does not relate to Willow. This relates to the Shocked and Applaud podcast where they referenced something about this particular actress.
Oh, okay.
Would you want me to go back and look at exactly where the thing? No. Fine. Then stop talking, because I've also got a note that says they want you to make the happy gerbil noise. That has nothing to do with Willow, but I'm pretty sure at one point Naomi said, hey, if we have Shocked and Shock Talk back, I'd like to hear Madeline make the happy gerbil noise. Do it.
I don't know that I can do it anymore.
Do it.
Okay, hold on. Hold on.
All right. That's nice. Can I make that into, like, an MP3 and use it as my ringtone? Hello, 2003. Me. Okay, so somewhere they started talking about black licorice.
Oh, because he was eating and feeding what looked like black licorice to baby.
A New York Times article dated September 26, 2020, on the danger of excessive black licorice consumption references both an unidentified 54-year-old man from Massachusetts and a 35-year-old Egyptian man from Cairo. The Massachusetts man died in 2019 from chronic consumption of black licorice, whereas the Egyptian man only suffered loss of motor control functions after drinking a liter of licorice-flavored water during Ramadan.
I know your mom likes black licorice, but that stuff is nasty.
Yeah, so, like, the guy in Massachusetts ate so much he died, whereas just the guy in Egypt was like, because Ramadan, you can't eat during, like, sunup to sundown. You fast. According to medical experts, the concentration of glycerin acid in licorice can cause fatally low potassium levels if consumed in high enough quantities. Now, my mom suffered from low potassium.
Yeah, I don't know that she was eating a bunch of licorice.
No, but I mean, thinking of the, they told her, just eat a banana. I wonder if this guy in Massachusetts would have, like, survived if he just ate, like, a banana.
I think the moral of this story is not necessarily make sure you eat bananas if you're eating licorice, but more of, All things in moderation.
Or one banana per every pound of black licorice consumed.
Why would you eat a pound of black licorice?
Okay. Well, I mean, maybe you like... I mean, so okay. Ouzo is liquor, Greek liquor, made from black licorice or anise. It's actually pretty good.
I've never had it.
Oh, man. It tastes so good. Ugh. Okay. The death dogs were actually Rottweilers in a rubber costume. They were just dogs with costumes on top. As a tribute, Ron Howard included CGI Corellian death dogs in Solo, a Star Wars story. So we're going back to Ron Howard did more than just that. And I have a dog licking my butt right now.
You probably wiped your hands on your pants after eating your nachos. And so she's tasting the essence of grease.
All right.
You will be editing this out, right?
Nope. TV tropes. .com lists this movie, Willow, as a Moses in the bulrushes trope, which is defined as saving an infant from some calamity by being cast in the hands of fate by his guardians. I guess Moses in the bulrushes, for those who don't know, references the story in the Old Testament where Moses was put into a baby basket.
He was put into a woven basket and sent down the river because he was going to be killed.
And he was saved by the princess, and raised him as like a prince of Egypt. Hence the movie about his life called Prince of Egypt.
Yes.
Other movies to use this trope or media is Dragon Ball. Goku is sent to Earth to save him from the genocide of the Namekian race. Real big one is Superman. Kal-El is sent into space to save him from the self-destruction of Krypton. Disney's Hercules falls into this trap. They wrote themselves into this. They actually rewrite the original story by making Hercules a fully divine son of Zeus instead of a demigod and left to be raised by humans. I forget why.
Because, the little demons steal him.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They steal him. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then they steal out his godliness. They drain him of his godliness. Mm-hmm. And so he can't go back to
Olympus,
and so they have him be raised. He has one little droplet left, which is how he is so strong, at least according to Disney.
Kung Fu Panda 2. Po's origin is explained that he is the adopted son of a goose and really a descendant of the pandas that escaped Lord Shen's slaughter. We already referred to Prince of Egypt, but you could also say Batman Returns, which was one of the very first movies Shocked and Applauded covered, because Oswald Cobblepot is dumped into the Gotham River and ends up floating into the penguin enclosure of the Gotham Zoo.
Which I find highly sus that these penguins were able to raise a human child without, where are those zookeepers?
I'm assuming the zookeepers probably then sold him to the circus to be... Okay, Clash of the Titans, the illegitimate demigod baby Perseus is locked in a coffin with his mother and dumped in the sea. Night of the Hunter. I actually like this movie. Madeline didn't. It's a black and white movie, horror film, where... Preacher is the bad guy, and he chases down a couple of kids for the money. He's got hate and love written on his fists. It's actually kind of cool. After their mother is killed by their evil new stepfather, the two Harper children escape by floating down the river. Other movies that do this are like Pirates of the Caribbean, Kung Pao, Into the Fist, King Arthur, Ten Commandments, Warcraft, Star Trek, Futurama, Thor, Oedipus, blah, 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 blah.
I mean, it's a trope, but it's a useful device.
That is my dog sneezing so hard she's hitting her head on the floor. Awesome. Maybe we should record this in, I don't know, a closet away from the dogs. Jeez. Okay. So I guess now it's time to talk about the last bit of notes I have on Willow, which is the Wilhelm scream. The Wilhelm scream. It is a stock sound effect that was created for the film Distant Drums in 1951. It was basically a character was drowning in a lake, and he got eaten by an alligator, and he makes this really stupid scream called, like, ah!
Sounds a little like Goofy scream.
Right. They finally named it after the character of Private Wilhelm in the 1953 Western The Charge at Feather River. There was a private on a horse, and he gets shot by an arrow, and apparently the actor forgot to scream. So in post, they just added this little sound effect.
The other scream
from the other movie. Then it was reused in Star Wars.
When he falls into the...
One of the stormtroopers gets shot.
Oh, okay.
In the original Star Wars, it's when they're across, like, Luke and Princess Leia are trying to escape, and they're across, like, this chasm, and he shoots a stormtrooper, and the stormtrooper goes, ah! And falls down.
I mean, it's in a lot of movies.
Well, those were the first three. After Star Wars, it just became an inside joke. So now it's been used in everything from Toy Story to Game of Thrones, Red Dead Redemption. I mean, pretty much.
We were just watching a movie the other night and I heard it.
Yeah. Once you hear it, you can't not hear it.
Yeah.
And it's actually kind of funny. It's just like a little Easter egg for audiophiles, I guess.
Yeah.
Originally labeled as Man Being Bit by Alligator, the actor behind the scream, a guy named Sheb Woolley, was also known for the 1958 novelty song, The Purple People Eater. He was a one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater. One-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater.
Now that's the different one from the one that...
She wore an itsy-bitsy, teeny-meeny, yellow polka-dot bikini.
That I was thinking about... Blondie,
Heart of Glass.
No, he eats cars. One of the first rap songs.
There's a rap song about somebody who eats cars.
She.
Okay, hold on. We're gonna do my my Google foo on this one. I'm gonna.
Blondie has a, you know, song.
I'm actually gonna do this. All right, let's see.
You know, some
Blondie, the singer, right?
Yes.
Okay, Blondie. A song about eating cars.
He's eating cars and
eat
guitars.
To the beat.
And no.
Let's see. Eat to the beat.
I don't think that's it.
No. Okay.
But it's one of the.
No.
Like she's actually sort of rapping.
No, I remember that song. That's not. That's Atomic. That's Call Me.
No.
The hardest part. Disco with rock. No.
Rapture.
Rapture. Okay.
Maybe. Looking for the lyrics.
Doom, 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 doom. So what does this have to do with the purple people eater?
And you go out at night eating cars. You eat Cadillacs, Lincolns too, Mercurys and Subaru, and you don't stop. You keep on eating cars. Yeah, they just... the way my head goes, like... Because there's... I don't remember all the lyrics to the Purple People Eater song.
I'm pretty sure a character called the Purple People Eater is not eating cars, because then he'd be the Purple Car Eater.
Just because he eats people does not mean that he does not also eat cars.
That's in the name.
No, maybe he's omnivorous.
I would think that if he ate cars, he'd be called the Purple Car Eater, who sometimes eats humans.
Well, that's just a really long name.
I know.
The whole point is that he can eat people, but he doesn't always eat people.
He sometimes eats cars. What is he, like a goat?
Maybe he gets tired of eating people. Maybe he needs a palate fresher.
Like metal?
Maybe.
All right.
I'm just saying, you shouldn't put him in a box just because of a title that he did not even give himself. Maybe he doesn't like that name. Maybe his name is Jerry.
And on that note, folks, thanks for joining us for this latest issue of Shock Talk. We still don't have much to talk about in terms of reviews or emails, but if you listen to this episode and have any thoughts on Jerry, the purple people car-eating monster, please let us know, because we'd love to hear from you at shockedandapplaud@gmail.com. Thank you, everybody. We hope to hear from you soon. Until then, I'm Sean.
I'm Maddie.
Thank you.